Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Fireside Chicago, where we host fireside chats with prominent leaders from Chicago's business community, live on Zoom with Q&A every Tuesday and Thursday at 11:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. On the show today, we have Julie Novak, founder and CEO of Party Slate. Really excited to talk to Julie. Before we get to the conversation with Julie, I just want to highlight some of the roster for the rest of May, give you a little bit of insight, a little sneak peek into some of the roster that we have coming on in June. Next week, Tuesday, CEO of Jelly Vision, Amanda Lannert's going to be coming on. Next Thursday, Joe Holberg, founder and CEO of Holberg Financial. Holberg Financial's platform is everything financial literacy, personal finance. If you're interested in a quick tune-up into your personal finance education and literacy, definitely check that one out. And now for a little bit of a sneak peek into some of the folks that we have coming on in June. I'm just rounding out the roster now, but just to give you a little bit of a snapshot into that. Mike McMahon from Jump Capital is going to be coming on board. Jump Capital is a venture capital firm here in Chicago. Series A, Series B investments in Chicago and both of the coasts. Dr. Rahul Kari, founder of Innovative Care. They are a testing facility for COVID-19. He's also a longtime ER doctor. This guy knows everything about what's going on with the COVID situation. Front lines, definitely tune into that. Super, super interesting. Matt Silver, co-founder of Forager Logistics. Forager just raised a bunch of money doing innovative things in the logistics space. Michael Krassman, serial entrepreneur, founded several businesses with his partners. Most recently, he's the co-founder of Hireology, co-founder of UrbanBound, a mortgage business that he sold, a recruiting business that he sold. Check out that one for sure. And then last but not least, Brent Sopel, former Chicago Blackhawk, Stanley Cup champion. He's now running his own nonprofit called the Brent Sopel Foundation. Definitely tune into that for sure. Without further ado, we have Julie Novak on the program today. Julie is the CEO and co-founder of Party Slate, a house-like website where leading event professionals share their work, build their brand, drive leads. Before founding Party Slate, Julie held executive positions at top-tier digital agencies such as Razorfish, Vibes Mobile, and agency.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Julie Novak. What's up, Julie? How you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm great. Thank you so much for carving out the time with everything that you have going on, both personally, professionally, the COVID situation. How are you holding up, by the way?
I'm holding up. You know, I think a new reality has set in, and it's strange how you kind of adapt to not seeing people and being on Zooms all day. And I feel for our events industry and everyone that's struggling right now, but I'm also seeing a lot of innovation. I'm seeing a lot of communication in new ways. And so I'm really excited to share some of the things that we're doing, but also excited to see so many people finding new ways to communicate with their either salespeople or their team or their clients.
Totally, well said. Absolutely. So let's jump right in. So for the folks that don't know about Julie, about Party Slate, could you just give a high level overview, a little bit about you and a little bit about what you're doing with Party Slate?
Sure. So I've been in the digital world for 20 plus years, closer to 25, but that makes me sound really old. But I started my career in digital with agency.com. Before that, launched online banking for Chase Bank and was an early digital adopter. And I've always loved events. Whether it's fundraisers for cancer research or my own wedding or corporate events, I feel events really inspire people and connect people in a way that other mediums cannot. And so as I was planning all these corporate events at Razorfish, I started to realize that there wasn't a good platform to get inspired and to find great venues and local event professionals. There was wedding blogs, but I wasn't planning a wedding. I was planning a great corporate sales incentive trip and others. And then I used a website called Houzz, you mentioned, H-O-U-Z-Z, to redesign my kitchen. And I became kind of obsessed with Houzz. I'm like, this is amazing. So you can save your ideas. You can see everyone that did the kitchen. You can find out what the backsplash was. And so unlike Pinterest, I was really impressed with Houzz, how it was a marketing platform for the home decor industry, but yet it was an inspiration resource and planning resource for myself. And so that's when the idea for Party Slate really kicked in. And so I started Party Slate 5 years ago. I started with just an idea to build this, the largest inspiration platform in the world. I like to think big, and also a place where event professionals can, you know, build their brand, share their work, and also, you know, drive leads to help, you know, grow their business. And so similar to Built in Chicago, similar to G2, we are a content marketing platform. So our goal is to have the best curated content, both editorial, SEO optimized landing pages, profile pages that really inspires people, but also drives new business for our community. And so today we have about 10,000 event professionals sharing their work on Party Slate. We have about 600 premium members. They pay for an elevated presence on the site, and also our white glove service, so customer success. And then from a traffic perspective, we're a little shy of 150,000 unique. So we have a lot of people still looking to get inspired, even if their events have been pushed out. And, you know, we've really built a great two-sided, we call it a market network. It's not transactional because these are big $50,000 events. You can't just click to buy, but we've created a really easy way for these small businesses to become expert digital marketers.
That is so cool. I've always been intrigued, inspired by just your business model, right? You could call it a marketplace business. You mentioned content, you know, curation marketing for, you know, both sides of the platform. So really hard businesses to execute well.
Very hard to get going. So you talk about the flywheel. And so at the beginning, it was, you know, Julie doing Starbucks meetings with these top event professionals, having just kind of a PowerPoint and a dream. And really how we got it going is through our amazing content. So we started writing articles, and again, similar to doing these type of talks, you know, with leaders in the industry, we started to build a brand that we were, hey, the top, you know, gala planners in Chicago, the top fundraisers, the top weddings, all these, you know, top lists, and writing SEO focused content, you know, who doesn't want to be written about or in the spotlight? So that's how we got our event professionals on. And then as we had more and more content starting in Chicago, that's where we started driving consumer traffic. But really, it takes a long time. But the good news with businesses like ours is once you get the flywheel moving, you know, you start building your moat around the business, and it's harder and harder for new competitors to come in, because some of these event professionals have, you know, 2,000 photos on one profile page. So it's not like you want to go do that. Oh, let's start doing the next one, you know, with so you start building up your moat. And similar to LinkedIn, everyone's networked in the events industry. So when a planner credits the photographer, credits the venue, that event photo shows up on their profile page. So you post once, and then it's pushed throughout our ecosystem.
So if I'm putting together, you know, say I'm an event planner, or I'm looking to plan my wedding, plan, you know, a corporate event, I can go onto Party Slate and maybe peruse different venue options, different planners, different, you know, so on and so forth. But it also sounds like there's an element of like credibility, like a Yelp, like a review, or the tagging believe, component.
Yeah, we believe that in this business especially, the biggest reputation builder credibility is your photo portfolio and your video portfolio, because the photos don't lie. So if you have a fully built portfolio to show your experience and types of events you do, that is a big credibility builder. We're also adding things like LinkedIn style endorsements. We don't have that today, and testimonials. That's something that's really important to our consumers, so we're adding that. But right now, it's really the richness of the real events they've done. These aren't photo shoots. These aren't staged. These are all real events. And then also, as you mentioned, who they've worked with. So if you've done a lot of events with the Chicago Hilton and the International Ballroom, if someone's looking to plan an event in that room, all of the photographers and decor companies and planners that have done events there are connected with that venue. And so that is, it is a B2B component, but it's also credibility building that, oh, wow, these 10 photographers have shot at the Four Seasons. You know, they must be great photographers. So it's the connection to these big brands that really help them with their personal branding.
150,000 unique visitors, over 100,000 followers on Instagram.
Yes.
Getting started. I mean, it's almost got to be like, not a fake it till you make it, but what is the perceived value to the first or second person that's coming on board?
Yeah, so the first thing we did is to add value is, again, similar to this program that you're doing, which I think is a great idea, is we added value by putting a spotlight on these event professionals and venues. So we launched our blog first, which is called our best of section. And that was actually live before our actual platform was going. So it was, to be honest, WordPress, easy to manage. We'd write these articles, we'd crank them, you know, 5 out a week, and then we'd share them on social media. And again, who doesn't want to be written about, especially categories like gala planners, bar mitzvah planners? No one's writing about these guys. It's only wedding planners that get all the glory, sure. Right? And so we're writing about all these categories, amazing rooftops in Chicago, all these things that are fun to read that do well on social media. So that's the first thing we did. And then the second thing we did is we built a really beautiful profile page that was free. And in itself, there was value that it was this beautiful page, better than their own website. And that was free. And so it's not, unlike Yelp, where if you're not getting any traction or business, why are you on Yelp? With Party Slate, your profile page can actually be a selling tool for your company and for your team. And that is really the core, the center of Party Slate is this, I feel confident saying it is the best profile page for our business in the world. And it continues to be. And that is the centering principle of if this profile page can add value, help you sell your services, help you build your brand, regardless of leads, you're going to think there's value in Party Slate. Then you add icing on the cake, driving new business and inquiries, then you're starting to see even more value. And to get more inquiries, we sell a premium membership where you can get boosting on the site and more inquiries and more impressions for roughly, $275 to $775 a month.
Gotcha.
How we make money.
So that's very insightful. So I'm an entrepreneur myself. I remember it was tough getting started. You have options, right? I could do a website myself and try to put it together. That's going to have a perceived value to an outsider. I could spend a lot of money. Maybe you don't have that. There's got to be tons of photographers and tons of folks in the event space that just don't have the tools and resources. So I think that's a genius idea to be able to give them that.
Yeah, we don't want to be a Squarespace where, this is where you build your website. But what we tell them is this is the great way, almost again, like your LinkedIn profile, to have a connected, networked, beautiful profile. And again, so much is free. I know people at LinkedIn say, our biggest competitor is LinkedIn because their free profile is so great. Mm-hmm. So we have this great free profile, but if you want, multiple cover photos, if you want more crediting to show up on your profile page, credited events, you pay, again, a limited amount a month and you get this enhanced profile page. So that's another way we're excited about making more impact, is having kind of a low cost product that just gives you this great website replacement that's networked with your industry peers.
That's such a great idea. And I love what you guys are doing. And let's kind of scale back a little bit and talk about your background prior to starting Party Slate. We have entrepreneurs on the program that started their businesses in college, coming right out of college. And, you had a great decorated corporate career before taking the plunge into entrepreneurship. That's, risky by most standards. Corporate leadership experience. So maybe talk about some of the things that you were doing prior to Party Slate and why you decided to take the plunge.
Yeah, I always tell people I did my first startup when I worked at First Chicago Bank, which is now Chase, when with two other people, we co-founded the first internet group. We called it an online banking group. And so I got my experience doing a startup within a big company. And just back then, no one really knew what the internet was. It was like, people were doing like America Online back then, and Netscape came out. And I just knew this was my calling. I loved the internet. I loved the creativity. I loved the technology. I saw from the very beginning that it was going to transform how we work, how we interact. And so really my first time on the internet, I'm like, this is my career. And overnight, again, built this group. And then one of my digital agencies, which was called agency.com, actually originally Eagle River Interactive, they hired me. And so I said, this is what I want to do full time. And so then over the course of 10 years, I had project management, sales, jobs. I I had everything you can imagine. We were user experience experts. No one knew what, everyone was doing every job. But ultimately, I really fell into the sales path. And I started off being, you know, the top salesperson, the top sales manager. And then I ended up leading the national and global sales team at agency.com. And then I got a call, a recruiter call. I love recruiters. Usually don't take them, but the good ones, you know, really compelling opportunity to be the general manager of the Razorfish Chicago office. And at that time, I was just ready for a change. I went over to Razorfish and ended up being there for about 4 or 5 years and grew a team of about 300 people. And, you know, I just always loved, you know, I just always loved the digital space and helping clients and consulting. But I will say, when Razorfish was bought for their parent company, Aquanta, for $6 billion. And I realized they didn't care about Razorfish. They only cared about Atlas, which was the sister company that was the software kind of ad management platform. I'm like, I think software is the place to be, not services. And so after, again, I don't know why it took me that long to realize that, but I'm like, it really became clear that the value and scalability of software and technology is different than services. And so I got a call from Vibes Media, a local SaaS mobile platform, and I knew mobile was the next thing. I felt like I had to be on the cutting edge. And so I went there for 4 years and helped build their sales and service team there. And this whole time, probably about for 6 years, I was thinking about Party Slate. I had the URL for before I started it for 7 years. So that's how long I've been thinking about it. And so for some people to say, like, you know, overnight startup, you know, this has been in my mind for a long time. I have this passion for events. I knew there had to be a better way. And then I had this inspiration from Howes. And so really I took all my digital know-how and experience, my, you know, SaaS and product experience from Vibes. And finally, after 3 years of dreaming out loud about Party Slate, you know, had the confidence to quit my job and raise $1 million of friends and family, along with our early supporter of Hyde Park Venture Partners that came in early and really got it started. So, you know, it wasn't an overnight thing, but I felt compelled. I had to do this idea. And I always tell people, dream out loud. If you're scared, again, I have lots of experience and, you know, lots of background. This is scary to put yourself out there and do something and raise money from your family and neighbors and you know, thinking about, is it going to be successful? And at the end of the day, I felt so compelled that I needed to do this idea that it gave me enough confidence to jump in.
Let's go back to your corporate career. Not everyone can say they had the ambition to, or that they climbed the corporate ladder, that they managed a lot of people before. They got into leadership. They're getting calls from recruiters for really, really big jobs. I think Fireside Chicago is turning into a professional development avenue for a lot of folks that are either looking to become entrepreneurs or just get into their next role. What made you successful? You know, what would you attribute some of your success to in your corporate career?
So I think, you know, you have to love what you do. I think that's really important. And I felt lucky that, again, the internet came around when it did, because I've always been passionate about that. And then I also think you need to find great mentors that can help you get better. And I think I feel strongly that you have to manage your own career. You can't expect that someone's going to show you the path and help you, you know, with your weaknesses. So what I always tell people is, you know, always ask for feedback. Always think about where, you don't have to think about where you want to be in 5 years, but think about where you want to be in 2 years and how you're going to get there. And I always say, you know, ask for more responsibility, even if you think you're not up for it. You can do more than you think. So, you know, there's that saying, you know, do something that scares you every day. I mean, starting your own business is scary. Taking a new role at a company is scary. But as long as you're working towards a goal, and again, it doesn't have to be like this perfect path. My career, I didn't map out this digital agency path and startup path, but I feel like you have to, you know, take in a little bit of planning and self-reflection on where you want to go and the steps to get there. And then you have to manage your career and you have to get the feedback from your managers. And you have to say to your manager, you know, hey, I want to be here in 2 years. What is the best way to move forward and to better help you do a great job? You know, I always say, you help your boss, you take things off their plate, you proactively identify things, you're going to get ahead. Don't wait to be asked. If you see a problem, proactively say, I noticed this is not working in our company. I'm going to take some time, put together some thoughts and come back. You know, that proactiveness, I cannot tell you how valuable I find that with people on my team. And I did that when I was in my corporate career. And so, I mean, part of it is like, again, I know salespeople sometimes get a bad reputation, like, oh, we're selling something. The best salespeople are problem solvers. And if you're a great problem solver and you can identify problems, especially your boss's problems, that is the best way to move ahead.
You said a bunch of different nuggets there. I wrote down a couple. You had mentioned putting a goal in front of you and making sure that you're taking steps to get there. I'm stealing this from somebody, and I heard it recently. Figure out where you want to be in 5 years, and then make sure you have no zero days. Every single day, you're moving the needle even a little bit on what that five-year plan is. And then you're going to pick your head up at year three. You're going to be that much closer. And at year five, you should be where you want to be. And look back 5 years from today, the things that you did 5 years ago got you to where you are today or didn't get you to where you are today. I thought that was really impactful. And it sounds like you took that advice as well. I always looked at it too. You know, I went to college. I was in high school. There was a lot of group projects there. And once I got into the workforce, I was expecting everybody to be on it, sharp, go-getters. Like, I was intimidated about getting out into the workforce. And you look at it, like, the workplace is just like a group project in high school or college. You have the person that's the leader that's stepping up, organizing things, sending out reminder emails to everyone, delegating tasks. You have maybe the number two that's like has the skill set and but maybe doesn't have the ambition to do that. You have the third person that's maybe complaining about the teacher and, like, you know, kind of bringing down everyone. And then you have the burnout that just doesn't show up to anything. And, you know, very early on, I told myself, I'm like, you know, the leaders of the group are the ones that kind of get ahead. Right. And there's no one.
The leaders are identifying the things that need to happen. They're assigning roles. You might have people smarter than yourself on your team, but you're identifying the best person for the best job. And I think and leaders are not born, they are created. You may have some innate things, but there is so many great leadership training programs out there that I've been fortunate to go through. So Omnicom University was part of, you know, was the agency.com, you know, Harvard professors, a week long management training course that over two summers. I've been very fortunate to go through those, but now with so many free training online, you know, find some management gurus that you can follow. And I mean, their blogs and their YouTube videos, you can pick up a lot with self-learning. And so, you know, I would say set some goals for yourself. If you want to be a better manager or better leader, identify three kind of management gurus and start following them and engaging with them on a regular basis. Now is the time to do those type of things when we're in isolation and we have extra time. We're not commuting and we don't have a social life, to be honest. I mean, now is the time for self-improvement and really introspection on where you want to go.
Now you managed, you were a salesperson, independent producer, project manager, maybe managing a few people all the way up to 300 individuals. Yeah. Someone told me one of my mentors, the path to, you know, success in corporate America is getting good at leadership, doing more through others. Salespeople can only, you know, sell so much in a 40, 50, 60 hour work week. Project managers can only do so much with a small team. Developing that skill set to move 10 people in the right direction, 50 people, 300 people in the right direction. That's really, really hard to do. It's scary. There's tough conversations. There's a lot of work there. As you developed in your career and you went from managing yourself to more and more and more and more people, what did you learn about yourself as a leader throughout that experience?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is when you go from an individual contributor, so in my case, I was the top salesperson. So of course I was going to be promoted to a sales manager after time. I wasn't a good sales manager to start because I didn't understand that the job at the beginning, I was a young sales manager. The job is not reporting and tracking. It's inspiring. It's relationship building. It's I work for you, sales team. How can I help you adding value? And so, you know, again, I think people think that managers are just born, like it's instinct. There is a lot of discipline and skills to being a good manager. And so I think I learned by some mistakes early on how to lead a team. And then I was fortunate to have mentors and trainers. But at the end of the day, if you don't have a good relationship with the people on your team, you cannot be a good manager. So if there's relationship issues, it's kind of like air and water and like kind of the hierarchy. It's first starting with trust and relationship, and then thinking of a mindset of how you can add value and how you can help your team. And then from a leadership perspective, it's setting a strong vision, setting your mission, making sure you're repeated often and people are tied to it, and then really hiring great managers underneath you that can do the same thing for their discipline. And so at Party Slate, you know, I have a team of 30, and I have an amazing sales leader. I have an amazing product and tech leader, and I have an amazing marketing leader. And so if you can't do it yourself first with your team, it's going to be really hard to identify those managers that can then, you know, lead their team. So, and I will say it isn't for everyone. I mean, management is often a thankless job. I find it very rewarding to mentor and lead and grow teams. But some people, maybe, you know, a rock star developer may not want to lead a team of 10 developers and turn into a psychiatrist, because guess what? Half of the job is issues, problems, emotions, you know, human things. And so I think you do have to take a look at yourself. If you want to be this rock star individual contributor, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, when I was an individual sales contributor, I made more than the CEO at the company, right? Like there's some benefits, but there's only so long, you know, for me at least, that individual contributor role doesn't get stale after a while. And so if you want to take the shift into management, you just have to know that number one, it's a hard job. And number two, it's very rewarding as long as, you know, you're up for those challenges.
So well said. There's a lot of nuggets there, and it's clear that you've had so many good experiences to your own credit, to your own ambition, to your own work ethic prior to starting Party Slate. You have 30 people now. You're probably going to be good at 60 people. You've been there, done that. We're going through a recession. You've been through recessions before. Yes. When you started Party Slate, what are some of the things that were just gaps for you that you were just not prepared for? Year one, year three, year five.
You know, so fundraising, I think enterprise sales actually prepares you for fundraising. So I had, you know, many years of enterprise sales, which are complex, multi-meetings, multi-decision makers. You know, I think that really prepared me. But when you're doing enterprise sales and you have like a 50-50 win-loss ratio or 20, you know, that's great. But with fundraising, again, this is your baby and you're talking about your future. And you know, when you talk to 30 VCs or 40 VCs, only one or two will say yes. I mean, it's a different, you know, you have to have a really thick skin. I think that's something I had to learn. And you also had to, you know, have a lot of resilience. A lot of resilience. So I always tell people, like, you know, yes, it's a glamorous role and doing all these things. And I feel so lucky. I love it, but it's a very, very tough job. And again, it isn't for everyone. And so you have to be resilient, thick skin, and you have to be so passionate and so determined that this idea has to happen in the world, that a million no's cannot stop you from doing this. Now, again, at a certain point, you do have to be like, okay, maybe this is a bad idea, but you have to, like Pinterest, I think got maybe like 80 no's before they got a yes. You know, so you have to have that kind of resilience and determination that, no, I always say no one will stop us short of global domination. You have to have that mindset.
Your first couple of years, I'm about to hit the second year anniversary of Lucas James Talent Partners. I felt like a lot's happened in under 2 years, yeah. You know, there's so much that happens in under 2 years. And, you know, part of me wants to hit the fast forward button. I'm like you, I led a lot of people before, you know, I'm thinking 2, 3, 5 years ahead. Speak about your first couple of years, because you've had a lot of success in your career. You've had the end in mind of what this could become, the vision. But it doesn't happen overnight. Talk about maybe the patience that you needed to have the first couple of years.
Yeah, I think I knew, but I probably didn't know to the fullest extent of a marketplace business like this, unlike a service business where you're getting revenue right away, or an e-commerce business where you're making sales, is that I knew the first 2 years would be about building the infrastructure and getting the supply side of the market on Party Slate. So I was very focused. We had a small group of people. The first couple of years, you know, 6 to 10 people. And it was really about building supply. And when I say supply, caterers, planners, venues, and providing that really amazing value proposition that this is the best way to share your work, build your brand, connect with your network, and also, you know, get brand building editorial. And then as the consumer traffic started building, that's when we knew we were ready for sales. And so about 2 years in, I was the first salesperson, of course, and then hired a small sales team. I actually brought on a sales advisor from Yelp, someone that had led a team of 700 sales reps at Yelp in Chicago, because I was an enterprise sales, not a $5,000 transactional sale. And so he really helped me a lot. And now he's full-time at the company. He's amazing. And he helped me hire my first salespeople and identify the right people and set up kind of some processes. And so once we got into the rhythm of sales, then it was the next stage of the company in ramping up a sales and customer success team. And so it was, again, very organic. It wasn't overnight. Again, this has been a 4-year journey, and I'm really proud of where we've come, but I also, you know, I'm never satisfied. I want to be further along. I want to be in more cities. I want to have more traffic. So we feel like we're kind of in, you know, phase one of the company still. And I think over the next, and again, even with the pandemic, more than ever, these professionals need to build their digital brand and have time to build their digital brand. So we are off the charts as far as activity and sales calls, all those things that are important metrics. Of course, our sales have been impacted. There's no question, but we had 10 new clients sign up last week. And so it for again, $300 to $700 a month, to not have to do a $10,000 website redesign and to really have this built-in network, we have a great value proposition. So I think I'm optimistic that our growth will continue. I just hope that it's the shorter, you know, rather than longer. Like, I hope it's 18 months, not like 2-year, recession.
Of course. Yeah. The what you were talking about not having success overnight, but also kind of framing up what your goal is. Yeah. You're like, all right, we're not going to be this huge company year one or year two. What does year one or year two need to look like? So I can kind of keep my head down, focus on that, not lose sleep over that end goal or creating that vision or reaching that vision too fast. And I think that was a really, really good point, especially for me. I'm that, you know, the thinker. I create that 5 or 10 year plan. What do we want to become? Make sure I'm setting up the infrastructure of the business correctly, whether it's roles, responsibilities, pricing, gross profit, forecasting, modeling. But really, year one or year two is, you know, keeping your head down and doing what you need to do for year one and year two.
I thought that was very well said. You have to map out. We do kind of the OKR, you know, objective and key results process. So my co-founder, John Harrow, who's tech and product, is in our CTO, is a very process-driven person. I'm more of a driver, and again, get me out there, build the brand, sales and marketing. And so that's other advice I would give, you know, for founders, is it's so important to have complementary skills. And every once in a while, of course, it leads to, you know, some, you know, conflict and things like that. But you have to have those, like, yin and yang of the business. Otherwise, you won't be successful. So, you know, early on, you know, setting quarterly and annual OKRs, really, again, tying things back to the mission and vision is really, really important. I think in this pandemic, more than ever, you need to have a clear vision. You may have pivots and other things you're doing, but of what you want to be. And again, 5 years is great, but I think sometimes it's even hard to think that far out. Even if it's just 2 years where you want to be, it's important to map out a plan to get there. Of course, it will change. Startups change every month, but you're working towards that same vision.
I've never held the CFO hat, accounting manager, anything like that. I have a sales background, sales management background myself. I hired a fractional CFO for my business, and just learning the value of mapping out the 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, and having that plan affect some of the decisions that you ultimately make every single day was a huge takeaway for me. I feel like when you start a business or you're in a new role at a company, you're kind of floundering a little bit without a plan, just trying to feel and figure things out. So that was a big takeaway for me. And it sounds like you're doing the same.
We hired a VP of finance with our Series A that we raised. So it was about, I guess it's been about 6 months. And again, that's also been a transformational role for Party Slate. She has a venture capital background and a startup background. And so to have someone that's doing the forecasting and the modeling and the projections and really helping with operations. Again, I will admit it is not my strength. The details, whenever I see a form like 10 pages long, I'm like, oh God, someone else has to do this form.
Right.
I'll do a Google Slides, I'll pitch. I can do that till, you know, all night, all day. But she is, again, amazing part of our success and like scenario planning and what's next. So I really appreciate that.
Shout out to finance and accounting people. From Julie, Tim, salespeople everywhere. You're going in blind if you don't understand that stuff.
Yeah. We had an outsourced accounting kind of function. And again, great leaders there, but it's different than having someone doing financial planning with you that's in the company. If you can't afford it, that's the next best thing. Like, is this fractional kind of leader that can help you? Because if you don't have that, it's just not something you can do yourself if it's not your background.
Very well said. We have one question. It's actually a few questions from Chris Freeman. They're all COVID related. So I'm just going to kind of summarize, maybe just talk a little bit about, how you're looking at COVID as a leader of Party Slate. Everything trickles down from the leader, from strategy to systems and processes to, in my opinion, what's the most appropriate and important thing through all this is the emotional quotient of the leader. Maybe talk about how you're handling this from an emotional perspective, given your industry is hit like most industries, it's maybe affecting your 2020 plans.
Oh yeah, it is. So I think there's kind of three components, probably more, but there's the people component and the compassion, mental health. We have some, I have teenagers, but there's some that have toddlers running around, there's people that are in a one bedroom apartment. Like, so everyone's kind of facing this differently. So as an example, we're doing a mandatory day off. Of course I have meetings, but there's mandatory day off tomorrow for the team. And we're trying to do, breaks and other things that, cause the days kind of flow. Like you could be working, all of a sudden it's 8 o'clock, it doesn't stop. And so we're really focusing on the mental health component, but I also have a business to run. And so we're really staying connected and with the leadership team of Party Slate on, what we need to do to adjust to this new time. So there's the financial planning aspect. We did have, again, salary reductions, other things that everyone is doing. We have to do that in order to extend our runway. But from a strategic perspective, hand in hand with my co-founder and the leadership team, there's two major things that we are pushing on. One, we want to be the single best source for our industry for digital education. So free webinars every Tuesday at 2 o'clock. We get anywhere from 500 to 1,000 registrations, which is great. That's also great for our sales funnel and for free pro acquisition. So it helps our business as well, but it's that digital education. And then from a product perspective, it's really making the profile more flexible. So we're adding FAQs where people can ask, health and safety questions. We're adding an announcement section where you can announce new offerings during COVID. And we're also doing a ton of editorial around, how people are still celebrating and how to have safe events, smaller events, and how events may come back. So we want to be the voice of the industry on when events come back, how they'll come back safely. And then we want to be an amplifier for this amazing events industry that's hurting so much now. The innovative things like caterers are doing home delivery. Floral companies are, doing Mother's Day flowers. Again, it's not something that's going to be a permanent solution for these businesses, but it's enough to keep their, teams employed and to stay relevant during this time of no events. So we want to be a flexible, low cost or free digital solution for this industry. And then we want to, when events come back, be an amplifier of how events will come back safely.
Julie, I feel like you said it before, we're kind of catching you maybe phase one, phase two of a 5 or 10 phase journey for Party Slate. I saw you speak right when you started the business at the Techstars demo day. Was super impressed then, got to know you over time now. Thank you so much for carving out the time.
Thank you for
myself, the attendees, the listeners on the podcast. For folks that, you know, want to reach out or learn more about Party Slate, where can they find you? Where can they find Party Slate?
Yeah, so you can just go to Party Slate, and it's party, not late, Party Slate, SLATE.com. And then, of course, Instagram is kind of our number one channel. So our handle is just at Party Slate. So follow us there. We're excited. We got verified this year on Instagram. So, you know, little wins are
big win. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
The big win.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the time, Julie. Have a great rest of the week. Take care.
Thank you.